Yes, it is Wednesday, May 1. We are into May. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. I'm Radio Tab. A very good morning to you. If you are just tuning in, Champions League this morning, it has finished 2-2. Another goal from Vinicius from the penalty spot in the 83rd minute has levelled it there in Germany this morning. So 2-2 Bayern Munich and Real Madrid in the first of the Champions League semi-finals. And then tomorrow's first leg as well coming up. And just when I need the computer for my market, it's just failed me. But I'll have that for you a little bit later. In fact, here it is. We've got Borussia Dortmund at $2.80 and PSG at $2.30 in that match tomorrow morning. And the draw is paying $3.60. Now, Cookie's usually on this morning, but he's had a directive from South from the club to leave all their media commitments until after Blake Solly, the chief executive, has addressed the team and the media. And Blake Solly faces the media in an hour's time, just over an hour's time, in the wake of yesterday, where it after a second board meeting on the same day, coach Jason Demetriou was sacked at South Sydney, 48 hours out from the match against Penrith, with the club sitting last on the ladder after eight rounds. So, new era coming in at South, at least in the immediate future. Ben Hornby is their interim head coach for the remainder of 2024. So, it's been a big story. It feels like it's been inevitable. This club, which was flying 12 months ago, right in premiership contention. I think they had, four straight preliminary final appearances as well. But it's all just gone south there at South Sydney. And here they are on the search for a new coach, at least a full-time coach from next year. And we think it'll be Wayne Bennett. But, I mean, Michael Maguire's name's going to come into consideration, Loz. If he wins Origin Series this year,
well, I know New South Wales. Madge wants to get back into the NRL. He's a coach that is a professional coach and wants to be back in the grind of the NRL. But I think, you know, he'll want to pick and choose. Well, certainly pick where his next option and job will be. And he'll want to go to a team that he thinks has got great stability and also a good playing roster. And he wouldn't be out of place if he did end up back at South Sydney. I think South have made it pretty obvious that their number one target at this stage is Wayne, and it'll be up to Wayne to decide whether he comes to Sydney or not. And I think, as it stands at the moment, if he wants to continue coaching, the options are very limited at this stage. There's only one, and that is South. So South are smart. They're getting on the front foot quite early, if that's the man they've identified, and trying to get him over the line in the next week or two.
If they don't get Wayne, boys, does Madge become the favourite, do we think? Or let's just say they don't get Wayne and Madge doesn't want to go back there. Who else is there? Is Hornby, does he stay there?
Well, depends how they go.
Well, this is a thing that I spoke to Adam about. Like, Madge is quite tough. So if the playing group don't want to do the tough stuff, Madge is not going to be the best fit.
There'll be some wrestling,
or they're going to have to make changes to that playing group. So I don't know.
Did any of those boys? None of those boys would have had Madge. When he was at South, would have they?
No, I don't think
none
so.
None of them?
No.
I can't imagine.
Jack would have at the Raiders. Oh, yeah. He was there last year as an assistant, but I don't think... Oh, Cam Murray might?
Maybe in his early days. When was Madge's last year, 2014 at South?
No, they won
I think 2016.
Oh, 2016.
I'll check that.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right, Loz. Madge is one of the hardest coaches I've ever had. So... whoever doesn't like the hard training or the hard stuff, it's not the place for you. And you're close with Madge.
17.
Okay. Would he be... do you think he would look to get rid of a player who with a big stature if he didn't fit his mould or wasn't buying into what he was trying to bring to the club?
I think Madge would want people to conform and do what he asked them to do. And if they didn't, then he'd have those conversations. I don't think he's backward and coming forward. I think he would demand plenty, as we all know. And his stocks will rise if he wins Origin this year, which I think he will. And I think he wants to get back into the NRL. But again, he'll be all about picking and choosing the right club because he's not silly. And he knows that if he goes back into the NRL and he doesn't have success, then that could be the end of him as a head coach. Mm. So he's got to be real smart about where he goes next time.
Now, according to the Herald and the Telegraph, Jason Demetrio wrote, well, a heartfelt message to the Souths playing group once he was told, and this is quoted from the Herald and the Telegraph, and this is the text message that Demetrio apparently sent the players. Hey, lads, just a quick note from me to let you know, sadly, I have been sacked. Being your head coach has been an absolute privilege, and being part of many of your professional journeys over the 5.5 years has been a blessing. Watching you make your debuts, hit milestones, and become young fathers and memories I will forever cherish. As your head coach and assistant coach, I'm grateful for the memories on and off the field, the run to the 2022 final series and prelim, alongside the preseason and transition to Heffron in 2023 was a great highlight. That feeling in the change rooms that led us to the top of the NRL ladder less than a year ago was some of the greatest experiences of my career. I'm sure this team is destined for more of those memories. Blessings to you and your beautiful families, JD. So that's
a great sign of a man, isn't it? Mm. You know, the playing group has let him down, but he's there still supporting them right to the end, even though it's cost him his job. So very classy and done very respectfully. And I hope he gets another opportunity somewhere, Jason Demetriou, because I think from what I've heard, what I've seen, he's a good coach, but unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out with this playing group. But I think if he goes back, and I'm sure he'll get a job as an assistant somewhere, he'll get another opportunity. And he would have learned a lot, too, in this short space of time. Yeah. And I reckon if he has his time over again as a head coach, he's not making the same mistakes that he's identified this time around. Because he'll reflect and he'll look back on what he's done over the last 18 months, and there's some really good things that he'd tick off on. And there'd be other things that he'd go, look, if I had my time over again, I should have done X, Y, and Z. And I think that he'll be better for the experience.
I wonder how that got out, that message. No, like, honestly. Whether he's all right with it, but that's exactly how they've treated him. Mm. Like, I don't know. That's a heartfelt message. Like, that made me feel really, really bad for him. Mm. And he's sort of... You know, you're right. And the first thing someone's done, how long ago was that meeting? How long ago? Well, was that? No, that was a text. But a I don't text, know. Yeah. I just don't like that. Mm. That's between the playing group and a coach. Straight away, let's send it to our manager. Mm. Just to, I don't know. Even though it makes him look good, I just don't think it's the right thing.
Well, there was a discussion that they had as a group a couple of weeks ago that got out into the media. Like,
I think it was when Alex Johnston stood up when Latrell was given some award.
Well, you're not going forward as a group if you have things like that happen. Mm. No way in the world. Because you turn up for training the next day and you're wondering who it was.
Well, there's rats in the rink.
Well, that's exactly right.
haven't heard that for a while.
I love the rats in the rink. But yeah, you're looking around, and I think the Broncos did it one year. They suspected someone was leaking information, so they set up a story.
Oh, the old fakey.
And then they knew
who it was.
I'm pretty sure it was the Broncos that did it a few years ago. They suspected someone was leaking to the media, so they set him up.
Who'd be the leak in here?
Definitely Tom.
Jono.
John O'd be like, no, I'm not going to say a word, not going to say anything. Righto, I'll tell you everything.
Hey, actually, that reminds me of a story. Back at the Dogs one day, we had one. We had a leak. And God, it rolled me up. Yeah. We had a meeting. I think it might have been a positional thing. I think it was about me that I was coming off the bench or something. And we said, look, boys, we don't want it to get out. And it hurt me because I got dropped pretty much. Mm. And, mate, we were in the meeting group. We're all together. We'll stick together. Big. We have to win this game. And I'm on board. No worries. Yeah, whatever's best for the team. Get down to the gym. Would have been the gym for 5 minutes. I remember one of the staff was on his phone or something, and he goes, look at this. The story was already out.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that you would be relegated to the bench.
Yep. And I was like, you just sit in the gym and you look around, you're like.
Do you reckon you know who did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you do.
I do. And don't you worry, I told you.
Did you front him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But.
Did they deny it?
Of course they did. But that really rolls me up. That's what you speak about. Like, that's little things like that is what you don't need in a team.
Yeah. Mm.
You don't need that. That's the culture stuff you want to get. They're the people. For me personally, I want out. Yeah. I want out. Yeah.
Mm. And you know it. You know it. You know it's going to get out.
Yeah, it's just the way it happens.
Just the way it happens. Mm. Like, within 5 minutes of you being told. You know what? I hope Jason Demetriou was told before it was leaked last night that he was sacked. Because that'll say a lot about the club as well.
Definitely. See, there's plenty of big stories about... Jono's just blown up, by the way, that I said he was the leak.
We need to get him on to see what his comeback was, because it was quite good, actually. Yeah. You there, Jono?
Yeah, I'm here, Loz. I was just going to tell you that I've been here for 18 years by telling stories.
Imagine the book that you'd write.
I have got some crackers if anyone's willing to pay for them.
Oh, I know.
I'll pay.
But I want you to go right back to
when
you started in the industry, not only just here.
Oh.
Late 90s.
Or the FM. Triple M days, the early Triple M days.
Hello. Those stories need to be kept quiet.
we love you, Jono.
We do.
Amongst the other big stories, and one that's been big, obviously, your club, the Bulldogs, Josh. Jackson Taupinay supposedly wrestling 30 players, and obviously there's a lawsuit now, and Cameron Serraldo was asked about it yesterday. And his response was, well, it's a different workplace. It's not for everyone. It's a tough environment. And he added that he's comfortable with what they've been able to do since he arrived and the people they've brought in. And I'm guessing he's referring to Travis Toomer, who was the person who, well, I guess, ordered the so-called punishment against Jackson Taupinay, which now he's lodged a statement of claim in the New South Wales Supreme Court. You weren't there that day, were you?
Yeah, I wasn't there on the actual day that happened, but I'm actually not allowed to speak about it because I'm an employee of the club.
Gotcha.
But at the same time, I will say, I'm allowed to say that Trav Toomer looks after every single person at that club. He went above and beyond to make sure last year I was okay every day. He'd check in with me, make sure everything's all right. Is he a hard trainer? Yeah, he is. But so's the Dogs been for years and years. That's what we've built our club on. So just for me personally, if anyone's having a go at travel the way he does stuff, I totally disagree with it. I wish I had Trav at the start of my career because he would have prolonged my career for even longer, I feel.
Yeah, no, Travis is one of the nicest blokes you'll ever meet. I was lucky enough to have Travis involved in the Origin team when I was coaching. He cares about his players. He's got great empathy for players. He's a guy that demands respect, and he's a guy that challenges you to become better. And he does it in a way which is encouraging. He doesn't demean you. He's a guy that's very knowledgeable. He's a guy that you would trust, and he's a guy that you would want to train and play for. He gives it everything he's got to make you a better player, but also a better person. And that's the type of bloke Travis Toomer is. And it's difficult reading, you know, some of the things that have been said and written about him, because that's just not the person that everyone knows that's had something to do with Travis. And, I don't know what happened there that day, but one thing I do know about Travis, he's very caring. He's a wonderful man, good family man, and he's always got the best interest of the player at heart.
And that's not even to do with training, laws. Like, he'll take you aside if you can sort of see that you're struggling a little bit away from footy and have a chat to you.
Mm.
Trainers don't need to do that. Mm. They just need to worry about getting you fit, strong, mentally ready. He cares. And that's the one thing out of all this I'm disliking is people taking a swipe at the way he does stuff. Because there'll be thousands of players that would back Trav, and I'm one of them.
Mm. and I know you can't talk about it being an employee of the Dogs, but Loz, like, just generally, if you see a player in absolute distress in a drill at training, and you saw that they were in absolute distress, I mean, I can't help, you'd probably step in at some point and go, well, just let's just take care of him. So, I mean, not just generally. I'm just talking generally.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what I would also do, Bido. If I thought someone was being unfairly treated, I would step in.
That's what I'm saying. Even if it's the head of performance or whoever it is.
But there's
whether
not,
it's coach,
not once,
assistant coach.
There's not once during my playing career or coaching career where I've thought or seen anyone being treated unfairly. In my eyes.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. And I would. I would step in, whether I was a captain or not. If I saw someone that I thought was getting unfairly treated, I would front either the trainer or I'd front the coach or the CEO or whatever it was and just sort of give them my opinion on what's happened, what's unfolded and what needs to be done and whether they handle it correctly or whether they didn't and how do we get better at doing it. But I never came across that during my footy career because I think we all accept that it's not for everyone. It's a tough environment and you've got to be prepared to push yourself to the limit and you've got to go beyond. And if you're not doing that at training and getting those reps in, what do you expect's going to happen in a game?
Well, it's headed for the courts or mediation beforehand, possibly. So we'll see how that all plays out. But, you know, it's got the potential to be a landmark case in the game. So we'll see what happens. Evan Priest in the next half an hour, because he can't do tomorrow. And Brody Nixon who's off today? Brad Davidson, I think, is off today. So Brody Nixon. Yeah, Brad Davidson's down at Warrnambool, I saw. So Brody Nixon's going to give us some tips today. And you can get all his tips on Bet's Friends as well. 2-2 in the Champions League first leg semi-final this morning. Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. Tomorrow it is Borussia Dortmund and PSG in the first leg from 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now in the Championship this morning, Ipswich 1 foot in the Premier League. They've beaten Coventry 2-1. So they are up to 93 points, 3 clear of Leeds, who are third in the Championship. And Ipswich play lowly Huddersfield in the last game of the season this weekend. A point will certainly confirm their spot in the Premier League next season, along with Leicester. Looks like Leeds, Southampton, and probably Norwich and West Brom, although Hull's a chance to get in there, headed to the playoffs for the third promotion spot. Now, in the NBA yesterday, and Josh Giddey had 14 points. He had 4 from 6 three-pointers as his Oklahoma City Thunder clinched a 4-0 series sweep over the New Orleans Pelicans. 97-89 it was in Game 4 there yesterday. So the Thunder are set to meet the winner of the Clippers-Dallas series in the Western Conference semifinals. The Lakers, well, they were eliminated 4-1 by Denver with a 108-106 Game 5 loss. And there's games today, of course, in the NBA playoffs. The New York Knicks will look to clinch their series against the Philadelphia 76ers. They got players out, though. The Knicks, they are still favourites. $1.56. Philly, $2.50 with tab. The line is a flat 4. New York, the minus. But I see that Joel Embiid's been battling a migraine as well. And didn't rock up at their, well, what's called the shoot-around in the lead-up to that game. So he's a game time decision, but Bogdanovic is definitely out for the Knicks. And also Cleveland and Orlando today. That's game 5. So this is a massive game. Cleveland $1.48, Orlando $2.70. The line's 5.5, Cleveland the minus. And the Indiana Pacers can clinch their series against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. And their favourites to do so. They're $1.56, Milwaukee $2.50 or plus 4.5 at the line. And game time decisions are both Giannis and Damian Lillard, who missed the previous match. Chris Middleton looks like he's been struggling with an injury as well. He's a game time decision for the Bucks as well. So that's the NBA slate for today. yes, Boston-Miami tomorrow. Boston can clinch that series as well. But we've got Evan Priest in the next half, well, coming up shortly, and Brody Nixon as well. After 8 o'clock, Dean Bulldog Richie will join us. Mitch Manners to come later as well. Now, at some stage, we will play some of the Blake Solly media conference as well. We'll get some of that in where we can this morning. And he's due to face the media in 35 minutes' time in the wake of course, Jason Demetrio's sacking last evening with the Bunnies at the bottom of the ladder there. Just some other news as well. Daly Cherry-Evans, he got the downgrade at the judiciary last night for his involvement in that tackle on Sean Lane at Brookie last Friday night. He said he was relieved after, so he's still never been suspended. He gets a $750 fine. I think that's the right decision, yes. Solakwatu certainly was the, you know, was prominent in that tackle. Cherry-Evans, his involvement was minimal, really, particularly in the process of how Sean Lane ended up, you'd have to say, grubby.
Absolutely agree, Mido. Yep. He, obviously, he was in the tackle, but he had minor implications on how it ended up. And, look, he's... You could tell he's a bit nervous. He didn't want to get his first ever suspension.
Looked like he was going to the principal's office.
He did, didn't he? Whereas, like, I used to walk into the suspension chats with me chest out. I'm going to beat you.
Oh, did you?
No. Absolutely not.
I used to walk in just with a handout.
I would have been a good cane at Junine High in 1985.
Well, I started with a cane and then it went to the strap.
Oh, jeez.
I started with the cane and then it went to the strap.
Loz get the strap.
Mate, I used to get in trouble too because I'd flinch and pull away. And they go, if you pull away again, you'll get another six. So I was like, oh, right. But yeah, was it around when you would have had?
Yeah, it was. I can remember in
did you
primary
have the cane or the
school
strap?
In Canoundra, there was a cane. I never got it. It was for the high school kids.
Right. You wouldn't have been around in that era, would you?
No, just got one off mum and dad.
Yeah. Yeah, when the old man took that belt off, you knew it was coming.
I bolted.
Yeah.
I bolted. Catch me if you can.
How's it, just before we get to Evan Priest, some more news of madness. The Mike Tyson, Jake Paul bout in July 21st our time, it's been officially sanctioned. So it's a professional fight. So Mike Tyson will be 58 when he steps into the ring against Jake Paul. And
he
so
can't
it's
win, can he?
Well, it's his first official fight since 2005. Tyson's overall professional record is 50-6. It's 8 2-minute rounds. It's at the Cowboys Stadium in Dallas. Well, I was speaking to Benny Damon about this. He said, surely not. I mean, Paul, he's fighting a 58-year-old man. He's 50. I know it's Mike Tyson, and I wouldn't fight 58-year-old Mike Tyson, but Jake Paul is, you know,
he's a
decent,
Nick.
Yeah, and he's $1.50, and we got a market with Tab. Jake Paul's $1.57, Tyson's $2.40, so the market's pretty tight.
Yeah, but he's too
but he's 58.
Old. Yeah, he's too old. He might start alright.
Yeah,
what if he lands one? He can knock him out straight away.
Early.
Have you seen his training?
Yeah,
but after what? After two rounds, he'll be sort of
gassed.
58.
I don't know. We might need a boxing trainer.
Marlo.
Yeah, get Marlo.
Get Marlo's thoughts.
He rates himself
what about
as
Marlo
a pugger?
V. Paul next?
We need to look after him.
I love his little.
You've got to build up his record first.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's got to start.
I have to sort the weight situation out as well. G'day, Evan. How are you?
Good, thank you, Mido. Very good, mate. Just listen to the chat there about the Paul and Mike Tyson fight. It's kind of like the PJ Hatcher and the seniors two are having an event together and getting full world ranking points. Bit of a G up, isn't it?
Well, there should be ranking points at least in Live. But yeah, that would be a G up for sure. But and we were at Live, of course. We saw you there. We had you on with us there at the Grange last Friday. What's the aftermath and sort of, you know, I guess how will Live in Adelaide sort of be, I think, used around the world as well? It seems like our model is the model, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, Mido. I wrote about this in the aftermath of it. Just how do you recreate that? Because it's obviously they've got 14 events on their schedule, and one of those, Adelaide, is the clear standout. So how do they replicate that 13 other times around the world? And I had a chat with a few people, and they basically said it's not just about identifying, is there another Adelaide around the world somewhere where you get a combination of people who know a lot about golf, but they've been starved of top-level golf, because that doesn't really happen anywhere in the world, sadly, for Australia. We are the most educated but starved golf market in the world, so you can't really replicate that. So what they're going to do is, hopefully, go to places like Dubai and play a golf tournament under lights. There's never been a men's professional sanctioned event under lights, so go somewhere like Korea, like Seoul, where they have flood-lit golf course, a lot of flood-lit golf courses, Dubai, places like that, and play a 54-hole event under lights on the live schedule. They're looking at things like, you know, sort of playing in different time zones around the world, and even kind of just thinking well outside the box. But because it's just Adelaide is really tough to replicate. But having said that, there were a lot of high expectations coming into Adelaide that it was, you know, maybe was going to suffer from second year syndrome or something like that. But they increased the ticket sales. That led to about, they estimated 94,000 people walked through the gates for 3 days, which is just absolutely epic. It's, you know, it's a grand final crowd spread out over 3 days, but just atmospheric, a lot of drinking, a lot of good banter, a lot of good fans. And on Channel 7, actually, 3 million total viewers. That's the total number, not obviously the peak audience or the average audience, but a lot of exposure to golf and kind of set the standard for how to run a golf tournament around the world in the modern day, where you have to incorporate, you know, the experience for the fans as well as some top-level golf. So going forward, Adelaide continues to be the benchmark, and hopefully they can live up to that elsewhere.
Yeah, for me, Evan, I'm not a traditional golf fan, but I don't think I might have been to one tournament here, Australian Open, a few years ago for the day. And I enjoyed it, you know, walking around and watching golf, but I didn't sort of... It didn't grab me, so to speak. But down there in Adelaide, I left that event going, I want more. And I know it's not for everyone, and I know there'd be traditionalists out there that say, mate, I can't cop this form of golf. But I think this has got a future, and I think I understood the teams better in terms of what it was all about, this team golf that they've tried to say that this is what makes our tournament a little bit different to the rest of the tournaments around the world. And I don't know, I just see it getting bigger and better, but I might be a minority in that thinking, but what I witnessed and what I experienced was very good, healthy, and I'll go back.
Yeah, no, Loz, you're not really in the minority. There's a lot of people around it, and especially as the golf crowd gets younger and younger, like a lot of people who you mentioned, the traditionalists, they're aging, sadly going to pass away in the next couple of decades, and it's about sort of replenishing. How do you keep people watching golf tournaments? Because all the ratings around the world, especially with the PGA Tour, the Masters was the big one a couple of weeks ago, all the ratings are down. So it kind of tells you that the fans are wanting something slightly different. Agree with you, not everyone's going to like the music blaring and people drinking maybe more than they normally are at a golf tournament. But at the same time, Adelaide, I think, barring a bottle being thrown at Lucas Herbert's caddy, I felt they were very respectful, sort of like flirted the line perfectly between getting a little bit tipsy and drunk, but also being respectful and not interrupting the play. So I felt like, based on, you know, test cricket matches and whatnot, we've set the standard on how to have fun and not be disrespectful at the same time.
Yeah. How was it received, mate, with the teams aspect of it when they went to the playoff? Because it looked amazing on telly, and being Australian there watching it, you just go up, you know, cheering for the Aussies. But when they were starting to boo the South Africans, how was that sort of received? Because that's not the done thing, is it, in golf?
It's not, and it was a mixed bag, Loz. Some people thought it was hilarious. I personally, you know, just being an Aussie sports fan, I thought it was maybe misrepresentative of our spirit. I don't think it was in the spirit of the game to cheer during their backswings and then cheer their bad shots when Dean Burmester left a bunker shot in the bunker for his third shot during the playoff, and we cheered that result. We were cheering missed putts. It's not really the Aussie way. So I just felt like by the end of it, the crowd was trying too hard to get the Aussies over the line. And the South Africans, being obviously a great cricketing nation, great sporting nation, probably knew that we're better than that. But at the same time, it's just once the cat's out of the bag, it's hard to control that kind of crowd and whatnot. It certainly wasn't boring. And going forward, I think LIV Golf really wants that element. That's the end goal for them, is to, out of their 14 events, it'll grow by the time they get to this, but they'll have 13 or 14 teams, probably 13 teams, and 13 home games where the players on that team own the golf course, design the golf course, and basically run the event with a team around them, to the point where, you know, in a lighter way, cheering those against those South Africans, that's par for the course at every event, because every event will have a home team where thousands and thousands of people want them to get over the line. That's the end goal for them. It may take 10, 15, 20 years to get there, but that's what they see as basically, you know, like almost like English Premier League football, whereas you're sort of watching half of the atmosphere of the home ground and half of the actual play itself. So going forward, I think it's going to be really interesting to see if they can pull that off.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see if they did bring one to Sydney. I feel Sydney'd be very rowdy. A very rowdy state. But look, for me, moving forward, I love that. I love that side of golf. I love having a beer and excitement, but I also love the other side of it. You know, I could watch golf without it being live.
Yeah, no, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people say they enjoyed it. A lot of people say, I'd never watch that type of event. So each to their own.
Well, if we look at the Phoenix Open is kind of what Live Adelaide models it, not even models itself on, but took inspiration out of every year, you know, 200,000 people per day through the gates, a lot of people drinking. The party hole there is sort of what inspired the watering hole at Live Golf Adelaide. And this year, you know, unequivocally, all the players sort of unanimously agreed that the fans crossed the line, they were abusive, they were way too drunk. You saw people falling over. It was a bit of a mess, and it's something that the PGA Tour probably has to have a look at. And I think Adelaide showed the way of how to have fun, how to have a few drinks, but also barring, you know, cheering against the South Africans and throwing a bottle at Lucas Herbert's caddy's head. Other than that, we were pretty spot on.
Evan Hannah Green in the top 10 for the first time. She's flying at the moment, mate.
Yeah, absolutely she is. She's got a second LPGA Tour victory for the year. She won a couple of months ago in Thailand, I believe it was. Now she's won for the second year straight at this golf course in LA, a really private course called Wilshire Country Club. Beautiful golf course. Kind of looks like an Aussie golf course, and she's now made that her happy hunting ground. And she's in the top 10 for the first time in her career, which is a lot of people in the know have always known that was her potential, and maybe even she's still got the potential to be world number one if she keeps this kind of form up. And more importantly, it affects our Olympic sort of chances, because now we've got two Aussie girls in the top 10 in the world. We really are a medal chance. You know, I'm not suggesting gold medal, because that'll be very, very tough to knock off the Americans. Nelly Korda, world number one, has won five straight tournaments in a row. She actually skipped the event that Hannah won. So they're going to be very tough to beat to that gold medal. But Australia is absolutely a chance in the women's side of things to add to our overall medal tally. It'll be her and it'll be Hannah Green and Minji Lee as our Aussie team. And it's looking like Jason Day and Min Woo Lee as our men's team. So we'll have a brother and sister on different Olympic teams, which would be great. And you know, Aussie fans should be really excited for Paris that we could potentially win a silver or maybe even a bronze medal, but hopefully silver or maybe even gold.
Okay, over on the PGA Tour, we've got the CJ Cup Byron Nelson coming up. How do you see it playing out? What bets are we having here, Evan?
Yeah, there's a few good bets here. TPC Craig Ranch is the golf course, and this has got a very confusing name, the CJ Cup at Byron Nelson. Jason Day is the defending champ. He likes the golf course, so I'm going with him as the top Aussie, even though his form hasn't been fantastic. Looking down the odds at the moment, yeah, there's plenty of I'm going to go with a random winner here. I'm going to go with Kevin Kisner. As he's transitioning to sort of a broadcasting role, he's keeps telling us that he's not giving up the fight, grinding the PGA Tour. This is a shorter golf course, so it kind of suits him in a way. So Kevin Kisner is my bet, going with a bit of value this week. And for my top 10, I'm going with Harrison Endicott. I think he's going to turn it around. Aussie kid, you know, really fighting for his PGA Tour status. He came through Q School at the beginning of the year, and he hasn't had the form that he wanted. So I'm going with Harrison Endicott for my top 10, Kevin Kisner for my winner, and Jason Day as my top Aussie.
Beautiful stuff, mate. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Well, he's got a big following on Bet's Friends on the Tab app, and we thought we'd get him on with Davo Away, Sky Racing tipster and presenter. Brody Nixon is joining us. Brody, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Very good morning, boys. Great to join you this Wednesday morning.
I appreciate it. And what are your horses to follow in the Queensland Carnival that will be heading up there from Sydney?
Yeah, the Brisbane Carnival's just about on our doorstep now. It's a couple of ripping races coming up this weekend, the Guineas in particular. There's 2 3-year-olds I want to highlight. They come to the same race in Sydney during the championships. Port Lockroy, I think he can be very hard to beat. Ran really well in the Canberra Guineas. two runs ago, and then last start he was flying home from the back. He should improve third up and be very hard to beat over the mile. The other horse for later, Mr. Kipchoge, a New Zealand import for Chris Waller, won impressively on Australian debut, went up to Sydney there for a really nice run when charging home from the back of the field over a short trip. He'll get out over further up and he'll thrive heading towards a derby. He's been about 26 into $15 early in betting.
Now, Brody, we're gearing up to get to Wagga for the Town Plate and the Wagga Gold Cup on Friday. Are you heading down there?
Mate, I can't wait. It'll be my first time heading to the Wagga Carnival. Yeah, I've been down to Wagga when I was a young fella with the family, but I haven't been there for a long time.
Right. Well, as you know, mate, well, I don't know whether you know or not, but I'm always after a tip. So can you make sure you delve deep into the form? Because I'm going to grab your number off someone here, and I'll be ringing you on Thursday and Friday.
Don't give it to him.
But then you'll be taking all the credit anyway. Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly. Mm.
That'd be an absolute pleasure, Loz. Mate, grab my number anytime. That's what Tom's there for, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly right. Tommy, have you got that, mate? So when I ask, you'll give it to me? He's just giving me the thumbs up.
Not Tommy the Rat.
Oh, that is rough.
Well, hold on. You said it before.
I didn't say anything.
I know. You blamed someone else.
This could be a biffo here in the news break. Anyway,
yeah,
go for
sorry.
It.
Brody, races at Canterbury today, mate. Looks like it's going to be very wet conditions. Expecting a heavy track. Have you got a tip for us at Canterbury?
Yeah, Grub, I'm not too sure what to do with Canterbury this afternoon. As you mentioned, the wet rain's going to really throw it about. There's a couple of horses I've specced early, but I'll wait for the late to really confirm it. But race two, horse number two, Erin Teva, trialled up beautifully for Chris Waller. She's a daughter of Zoustar, should be very hard to beat on debut. Another one for a potential Queensland campaign, Coolmore-owned Private Life, two-year-old colt, expensive buy. Now, his mother ran third in a couple of group ones all over the staying trips. He should get out of a further. He's just had the one trial. The punters who want one at a bit more at a price in race number six. I've had a two-bet play here. Jewelry at $5.50, race six, horse number four, and race six, horse number nine, Sunshine, at about $17. The first two horses out of her last start run have both come through and won at Rose Hill on Saturday, and I think it can be really hard to beat.
Yeah, we had a text earlier this morning too, and I'm just watching the trial right now. And it's on debut today at Canterbury, and it's favourite, J-Mac rides Private Life in race three. He is $2.70. Just a listener said, just keep an eye on it. I can't find the text, but Brody, we appreciate all your mail, mate, and we'll catch you at Wagga. What have you got, Loz?
Dave Barnhill has just texted in a tip.
Yeah.
He's one of the best in the business, but I'm saying gambled responsibly. You don't have to take this tip, all right, for our listeners. But he's texting one at Warrnambool today.
Okay. Well,
race five.
Go for it.
Number nine.
5-9 Warrnambool today. That would be...
Tree Lad or something?
Tea Tree Lad.
Tea Tree Lad.
$3.20 in favourite. Okay, something. Sorry, Brody. We're holding you up, mate. But
thanks. Boys.
Appreciate it.
Just before I go, Grub, mate, just want to congratulate you on the transition to the media. You're popping up everywhere, and you're a good listen, so congratulations, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Good on you, Grub.
Oh,
good on you, Brody.
What a man. Hey, Brody, can I get your number too? Can you say that to me every morning?
We'll clap Grub out for the 8 o'clock news. Well done, Grubby.
Thanks, Brody. Appreciate it, mate.
Thanks, boys.